All right, guys, we're back live. Episode 10 of the Contractor Compass podcast. Today, we got just me and Jason here today. Tom's out of the office, and we are going to be chatting about effective sales techniques, specifically in the HVAC and the insulation space. Jason will be able to relay some things into other home service, spaces, but let's just be honest with each other. If we're selling inside the, anywhere inside the home service space, you can kind of use these techniques across the board. So with that being said, Jason, I'll let you kind of open up. If you have a certain structure, I got a few things I just want to talk about in terms of like how we coach clients. Cause I'm not selling in the home service, right? But you can, once again, I can obviously relay certain sales structure and sales tactics. It's all, I don't care if you're doing it over the phone or there are some different things in person, but there are also some things that transfer back and forth no matter. So I'll kind of let you take the lead here and then I'll pop in and out and we'll kind of create a conversation here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is hands down. I think it doesn't matter if you're actually your role is quote unquote project manager, comfort advisor, where it's just focused on highly sales. But also, too, this is really one of the big parts. A lot of in the trade, and I'm talking all of them. I'm talking garage doors, irrigation, right. HVAC, plumbing, electrical. I've done them all, and this is the one spot they all miss, and it's on the service side. And I think really right now, a big part is how I kind of communicate this to a lot of business owners is a big difference between a maintenance tech and a service tech. And in their mind, a lot of people still thinking your service tech who's doing the high level troubleshooting is the same guy, obviously, because they're replacing the parts, is just turning the screwdriver, right? And there's really not a lot of sales built into these guys because they're like, oh, they're blue collar. They don't want to deal with it. They're not salesmen, right? We're not trying to upsell people, right? They're not built for that.
Yep.
In all reality, that's the wrong way to go about it. And I've proven it time and time again with a basic system and a process. So I'm going to get down to kind of the nitty gritty a little bit later, but on the micro level. But really the big part is just making sure, number one, you set the expectation for your technicians. You do got to have a, like I said, we'll talk a bit more about, but you do got to have a system in place and a process in place to get those techniques to not only just happen on week one, but how do you get it to happen on year number two, right?
You're talking the ability for them to upsell to different things. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, really just to get them to be able to sell, period, right? To start pushing some numbers for the department, because your service department should not be the one that's dragging along, right? A lot of people in our space, they highly focus on, like, your service is your supplemental and your install is your profitable, right? And a lot of people hang a lot on their install side of things. And that's good. I mean, you can absolutely just build a company on install and have your service team. And that's how most companies get up and get started. They get their install going and then they have, okay, let me get a service guy to come in and service and just maintain our customers on the install side. And that's kind of how it developed and formed to what it is now as far as the process and the workflow. But really, you got to kind of cut that off. If you're established and you have like two or three technicians in there, really, it's at this point you need to start getting your technicians into some type of sales training to where they're understanding the techniques, which we'll go over here. System process, connect to present, how to present things, product knowledge is key. But again, it's tricky too, because now they got to still make sure that they do understand the high level of troubleshooting, and your design from up front plays a big factor into it. So a lot of what I do is I do separate my service technicians from my maintenance technicians. Yep. The pay obviously is very different, but I have my maintenance technicians, they'll go and do some of the work that the person can't do within their 2-hour window. And that allows, again, this is a whole big snowball effect and we'll go into it, but this will allow really your service technician to stay in front of a lot more opportunity calls. So, and that's the key, right? It's a numbers game.
So remind me again, do you like the service? Do you like a selling technician more than a comfort advisor role?
No. So I do. I prefer to have a selling technician. I think a lot of companies are getting back to that. So yes, short answer is, I would definitely think it's got to be set up right though. You can't have Bob who's, has no clue about it, right? But I think definitely in the day and age that we're in, and the customers that are informed the way that they are, the car salesman isn't going to do it anymore.
Correct.
Now, I do have clients that have car salesmen still that are their comfort advisors, and they do well at times. But you run a lot of different challenges as far as equipment setup, inspections, permits. Yeah. I mean, not permits, but inspections, and things of really having a tough time bridging that divide between your sales team and your install team.
Correct.
Because it always turns into a cat and dog, right? You know, install team hates sales, sales hates install. Yep. And it kind of seems like.
I agree. That's kind of what I've noticed as well. And then, you know, it's just more of a natural role with a selling technician, right? From, oh, hey, you know, we can, you know, we can solve this by doing X and Y, right? But then they're not rolling in the sales guy.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just, you know, people are just too well informed. They know too much about sales process now where
that's like, it.
You're not going to come in with the used car salesman, right? And close a ton of deals. You may very well have some people like that, right?
Right.
That still exists without a doubt. But I, like you mentioned, I see a lot more companies going back to that selling technician role. Don't get me wrong. I have a lot of people that have comfort advisors as well. I don't know how they structure it internally.
Yeah.
But I do see a lot of that selling tech kind of being that they'll push better numbers than some comfort advisors just just rolling through that process. Offer real advice with knowledge based, you know, knowledge behind it instead of just, I think you need a new system.
That's it, man. And you hit the nail on the head by saying the numbers go up. And I've tested this theory, you know, because that's the thing. I don't do anything unless, you know, I've ran it through the ringer and had number and had data. And when I'm talking about numbers and data, I'm talking about a year's worth of numbers and data.
Yeah.
And I've done it in multiple regions. So it works. And it's really just something to where, because here's the deal. If you have your service technicians, right, because this is a whole big thing. So now we're going to kind of dive a little bit into it as far as like, I mean, this thing, you can build on this so much in so many different, I don't want to say in so many different directions, but you got to have all the components that fit together to make this work.
Yep.
And really what it is, and it's not hard, is if you go the route where you have your service technicians that are actually going to be doing the selling. So a normal service technician will go and they'll do troubleshooting. They'll say, hey, listen, here's a prevailing cause capacitor or whatever it may be, you know, your rollers on your garage door, maybe a couple heads in the ground, right, for your irrigation. You need to go ahead and get that fixed. Here's the bill for you. It's $450. Your truck roll out there is probably $300. Your company made maybe $100, maybe yeah, off that one sale, you know, why that guy's out there. But once you get them trained up, so here's kind of the nitty gritty. You got to have a process. There's a million processes out there. Don't get bogged down with how many different types of processes there are. Because if you look at 10 of them, they're literally saying all the same thing. Correct. So, and I've been in sales for 20 years. I've been to tons of conventions. They're all saying the same dang thing. They just wrap it in a different bow and hand it to you on a different plate. And that's it. But they're all saying the same thing. There are tips and tricks you can learn in it, right? And some verbiage and catchphrases. But you got to get a process. So step one, you got to get the mentality and expectation set right with your technicians. That's number one. Coming right in the door, they got to understand that, hey, listen, it's a production role. We do have goals. You got to set a goal, right? And I'll give you an instance for that. We have goals for our guys. Our guys will work all month. The minute they hit their goal, that's when the normal technician at most companies kicks in, right? Then they're like, hey, man, I'm not feeling well today.
Correct.
I'm not going to be able to be in, right? We avoid all of that just by setting that precedence that they have to hit this mark. And then that's fine. I mean, if they do that, I mean, we're not hard on that. We're not going to micromanage them. They did their work. They put that grind in and we're good. Their truck is now profitable. And we know where they stand opposed to where it's just all over the place.
So
that's number one. Expectation is set for them. The goals are set. We're not going to get into really the goals, but the techniques and the processes is they all go through a training process. And I've been talking to technical schools at this point. And I tell them, listen, when you're putting kids through trade schools in the technician world, you got to offer a sales component. 100%.
Yeah.
Because these kids are not learning any type of sales techniques out.
Yeah.
And they're getting taught and they're getting conditioned to, yeah, you're going to go and just turn a screwdriver or a wrench. And that's all it is. You're going to pay $50 an hour. And that's not even close to what it is. Some companies still exist like that, but that's usually your Bob that's owned the family business and he's ready to retire. Right.
Correct.
So you got to have your process. Your process has to be, like I said, they're all the same. We use what's called Connect to Present. It's through Jeremy Miner, Victor Antonio. They all have the same ones. So that's a name drop in that you can look those guys up and look through a Connect to Present process.
Yep.
It's very, very simple. Three easy steps that the guy's going to do. And we put them through that training and we teach them.
Yep.
And then we go and we do the ride outs with them. And then we watch them and we monitor them. We do the same thing that Nexstar would talk about, right? We're not Nexstar partners at all, but there's things you can pull from everywhere, right? You got to have your three options. That's just kind of the big thing. Some people say have six. You know, you got to just see, I've tried the six, it never worked, and I tried it for 6 months. Yeah. And it just didn't work. We had way better luck with the three. I think six was just a little bit overwhelming, but some other people swear by six.
Yeah.
So you got to have the three options. You got to have them know how to build them out, and it's going to be ease of use, right? Because you got to make everything kind of convenient for your technician. If not, and they're fumbling all around with janky software that you have, right, and all this other stuff, they're just not going to do it, right? So you got to build your price book correct. You got to make sure that you show them how to get through the price book and it's all correct. You got to make sure they're able to shadow with somebody and see that process in place and seeing them have success with that process.
Yep.
And then all of that generates a culture, right? Your first year is going to be your toughest, or I'd say your first 6 months, depending on who you have, the people be your toughest part. You're going to lose people. You're going to gain people. It just happens.
Yep.
When they do go over to the other side, but you got to have a good pay scale in place, right? You got to have a reason for them to want to hit this goal. Why am I hitting this goal? Am I getting paid more money? Well, money's the only thing that really matters to a lot of people when they're working for you. You got to understand this is your dream as a business owner. That's not their dream. Their dream is to probably own their own company someday. Yeah. So please, we've gotten this whole idea that employers, it's great that they're creating a space for somebody to come and work for them, but you got to understand if nobody shows up and works for you, you're just still going to be a one-man show. And it could be a struggle. It may not be, honestly. I think right now,
correct,
it's not. But for the most part, if you're trying to scale and you are already there and you have that overhead, you got to need the team and the employees there. So you got to do what benefits them to a certain extent that makes sense, right? So you got to have that payment plan in place, right? Are they going to make more money? So I would say to start, your first thing is mindset.
Yep.
You got to have a good pay structure in place to show them, we call it path to progression.
Yep.
They got to have a path to progression. And then on that, really, you got to just make sure that you have a good system as far as a step-by-step plan on how they can
structure
this. Yeah. Present to a customer.
Let's talk
with
about
with a presentation.
Let's talk about in the home with the customer. Let's talk a little bit more detailed on like how they're interacting. Mm-hmm. Let's get a little bit more, I don't want to say detailed, but basic, right? So
yeah,
just different styles of selling, right?
Absolutely.
Where, you know, I've found that it's much better to be the guide who actually understands the problem and then brings them to the solution, right? Versus the, you know, when it's everybody, make it their idea, right? Well, you don't have to. You just have to show them why it makes sense, right? Whereas, you know, you can flip the script and you can have the used car salesman who's very good, but you're not going to find it nearly as much anymore.
Yeah.
So just like down to basic tactics on how they're interacting with homeowners, the biggest thing, and guys, I'm just saying this from the hundreds of companies we worked with and the sales guys that we've talked to, the ones who do the best, it's the trust with them and the homeowner, whether it's winning or losing bids or it's upselling or it's selling bigger packages or whatever it might be. Their biggest thing is that, you know, a homeowner has how many of, you know, Joe Blows come into their house to bid a system or do whatever. And it's when all the pieces match and they're professional and they have the system and they have the process and they're comfortable and they're experts. And then they guide them the way they want to be. And they don't feel like they're, you know, reaching into their wallet, asking them for 18 grand for no reason.
Right.
You know, that's kind of where I see the most success, just talking like basic sales tactics, right?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, a lot of people, like I said, there's 100 million different methods that are out there, but they are all saying the same thing.
Yep.
And really the one, so I'll just put it to you this way. The one that really, this is kind of the process in a nutshell. And a lot of people are already doing this, just they haven't formulated it yet.
Correct.
Or been able to really kind of hone in on either one of these steps. So here's the process. So if anybody's writing it down, that's what you write down. Your step number one is connect. Your step number two is going to be situation, which is just fact finding.
Correct.
Your third step is going to end up being the problem awareness. And then your fourth step is going to be in these next three. So those are your first top three steps, right? Mm-hmm. Your fourth step, your fifth step, and your sixth step, which is going to be your what if. I stay clear away from that. It's just not my personality.
Yep.
Then you got your solution and presentation. Those three all go together. You can talk the what if.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You don't want to give your solution too early.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I like the little touch point when you're like, well, what? I don't like that either.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
your house is going to burn down.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like if somebody, maybe it's just good because we're in the profession, but if somebody runs me through that, I'm like, dude, immediately I don't trust anymore. And now
I'm that's it. Yeah, that's the turn off switch.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because you don't feel like they're being authentic, correct. And it's a fear tactic.
Well, yeah. So
it's the fear tactic, and here's the big one, especially in HVAC. Now, the only reason why I bring that one up too is because there are some situations you do got to educate a homeowner on. Like, so if you have a cracked heat exchanger and you got high CO levels, and here's the deal. I tell my guys all the time. I say, listen, you're an attorney and you're trying to prove your case. I said, and you're before the judge when you're sitting there because they're going to make up the decision. Correct. So you better make sure you have some supporting evidence when you're correct. Going into this.
Yeah. So if you do have like worst case or something that sounds crazy, have some damn evidence and
that's it.
Be able to back it up to where like I'm not dicking around when I tell you this.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, you got to think about it. You say, hey, listen, you have a cracked heat exchanger. It's putting out 150 parts per million of CO. The homeowner's gonna look at you like, dude, what the hell did you just say to me? And I don't even know if that's offensive or if I should be happy, right? Yeah. So, I mean, you gotta talk to them. Number one, in layman's term, right? You gotta be understandable. Your carbon dioxide levels are too high, right? But you don't go into the what if, like, hey, your goldfish, your dog, and your mom are gonna die, right? That's the direction you don't go. could it happen?
What happens if you don't change this? Let's just go through this theory.
Right. Exactly.
You're gonna die.
Yeah, I'm gonna die. Your goldfish ain't coming with you.
And nobody gets paid. So
and no one gets paid. That's exactly what it's gonna look like, right? And that's where a problem with it. Now I've seen people who can utilize it and be successful at it. It just wasn't my personality. It's not who I am.
Yeah.
And again, to your point, a lot of customers are savvy. There is a time and place for it. And I always tell people that's what you want to do. But let's talk about the process, right? Because we're going to get granular on this because people are like, well, how the hell does that even work, right? You have your connected situation, your problem awareness. These are the top three things.
Correct.
Right? We talked about this a little bit in the past. Yep. So this is the technique of your guys going in. And everybody's taught the same process from my technicians to my comfort advisor. And I don't care if my comfort advisor has 20 years in car sales. He's going to learn this technique when he comes in.
Correct.
Now, we don't give them the little laminated card that says, hand this to the customer when you come in and say, we're going to go ahead and we're going to check your equipment. We're going to go ahead and we're going to pat your dog and we're going to go ahead and we're going to ask if everything's okay. And then we're going to get a review at the end, right? There's clients out there that literally correct. Showed me this thing, the technician's held in their back pocket. And I was like, holy bananas. You immediately just put a wall up, right? So, the data that's out there shows the minute you walk up to a homeowner's house, they are 90% already got a price wall up. Yep. They know it's going to cost them money and they only want to know how much it's going to cost them. So in their mind, they're trying to rush you to get to, okay, dude, what is the bottom line here, right?
Correct.
Some you can break down, some you can't. But in my mind, it's a visualization thing. So I always would think, how can I bring this wall down? So in my head, I always thought like a game. And I saw this digital wall up 90%. I got to bring this thing down.
Yeah.
And I did that with connecting with them first. Yeah. So that's the big part. You got to start connecting with the customer. Look at things in the lawn. Look at things in their driveway. Look at things when you walk into their house. But you got to find something to connect with this person on because this is a perfect stranger that you're trying to get things generated. If they're existing customers, it's way different.
This person's just a normal human.
Absolutely. That's the thing. You're a stranger walking into somebody else's world. Right. It's uncomfortable for a lot of people. We do take that for granted. We're going into their space. And you gotta really just be able to start breaking some things down.
Correct.
But here's the other thing too. So now you're doing that. Now the number one thing, people, they buy based off emotion, they justify, but based off logic. And that's just an old saying in sales.
Yep.
Everybody buys based off emotion. That's the reason why marketing is so damn profitable is because every advertisement you see is trying to pull at some type of emotion you have. Now, there's a thing where there was a book out and a psychologist came out and he did this thing about preception. And it's the moment, instead of perception, it's preception. So it's the moment before they make that monetary decision.
Yep.
It's that emotion before. You got to bring up that emotion prior to that time of asking for that monetary or you have that monetary conversation. So. Yep. In that sense, you're going in the house, you're talking with them, you're connecting with them. You did this. I had a guy, he connected on family. I talked about this before. He was super good at connecting on family. I had another guy that was really good. He was just a people person. So you just got to find a way to connect with them. Don't make it awkward. Just try to connect with somebody. If you're having a tough time connecting with people, then you do need to work on your people skills, right?
Yeah.
Because this is part of it. Or you just need to go into maintenance or install or something that doesn't deal with that if you're an introvert, right?
Correct.
So then you go ahead and after you're connected with them, that's burning that wall down a little bit. They're more comfortable with you being in their house at that point. So what this is doing, this is building trust up between you and this individual. Everybody knows that. That's the basics. Now you got your situation. Your situation is literally a 10-minute conversation, 15-minute conversation, but it's going to come from the customer's mouth. Now, this is like you want to hear them tell you what the problem
a little bit. Yeah.
Get them That's going. It.
Yeah.
You got to, because the emotion's going to get brought. When they made that phone call, there was an emotion. The pipe burst, the heat's out, something's going on, right? So, hey, listen, I tell the customer, Miss Betty Smith, how you doing? You know, we got conversation, everything's good. I said, okay, Betty, you know, I'll check your file on the way over, right? That gives me credibility. I review the file, so I'm a professional. Reviewed your file on the way over. Can you just explain to me a little bit about what's going on?
Yep.
Right. And I know what the dispatcher's told me. Yeah.
Shut the hell up.
That's it. Yeah. Don't talk, because what she's going to do is she's going to start just divulging information. People, unfortunately, love to complain and they have no problem doing that. But what it's doing and what I'm looking for is I'm looking for anything that's going to have an emotion behind that. Like if she's starting to tell me like, man, it's pissing me off because I have to work and I had this upper room, right? And I work in the upper room and there's no air conditioning in there and it's freaking dead of summer. If she's getting that involved in it, to me, that's where I'm gonna focus. But I'm not gonna focus now on it, right? Because what happens is people buy based off emotion and justify on logic. So I'm gonna bring that up later down the road. So this is the time I'm just gathering some information when she's talking to me and say, okay, well, Mrs. Betty Smith, I'm going to go and check some things out. Right. So that was my situation.
That's right. Just a quick touch point on that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you're like, you took the words out of my mouth because I didn't want to interrupt you. You're like, oh, you know, I'm not going to touch on that now. Right. When you found that thing, because there's always the one thing, right? There's a big problem. Then there's always the one thing that's like the real, like it's really pissing them off. Like,
that's it. Yeah. Right? The pain point.
and you note it there, but you're not going to go into that there because you have not even yet necessarily look at all their like everything that's going on. You don't know
that's
what the
right.
problem is. So if you start dialing in on this pain point, how you're going to fix it and how blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know shit. You just came in the door.
No.
Like, then it's gone again. Right.
Exactly.
5 seconds. You find out what I actually needed. You did a good job of that. Now you got there. And now it's like, oh, we can fix that. No problem. We're going to
this.
What the hell you mean? It's all that.
Yeah.
Yet. So
that's exactly it, man. And that's shooting yourself in the foot. And we got a lot of people, and I call them sidebar conversations. We don't have sidebar conversations, right? Can't go to the judge every time. You got to say, hey man, can I approach a bench? Right. That's the worst thing to do. If you're ever an attorney and you're trying a case, the more you do that, you break up your momentum. So, a lot of that has to, so then you got your problem awareness, right? So you got, you connected, you did your connecting, you spent about 10 minutes on situational, fact finding, she's telling you, but that's building emotion. That ties right into your problem awareness, right? Or discovery phase is what I call it.
Yep.
So let that emotion come up. You're starting to discover where this is going. And then you're going to be able to say, okay, listen, let me go back and I'm going to take a look at either I'm going to go outside, I'm going to start checking some things out. You're more than welcome to come. Always welcome a customer to come with you and check things out. If it's an attic and Betty is 90, do not ask her to go in the attic with you. Bad idea, right? You're going to have a way bigger problem on your hands. You're not there selling insurance or life insurance. Oh, they're trying to fix a problem. So I had a guy, he's like, oh yeah, no, I asked to come downstairs. I'm like, you didn't ask Jan to go downstairs with you. And he's like, yeah, in the basement. I said, she's 75 years old, man. She's probably never been down in that basement in probably 15 years. So don't do that. So you gotta know your audience.
Yeah, right? Out of there too. I got her down,
man. We really connected on the way back up. I'm telling you.
I made sure I closed the deal in the basement, and then as I was coming out, she was in good hands.
She did. She looks at me like a son now. Oh man, dude, I'm telling you. I've seen it. I've seen it all. And so now you're in your discovery phase, right, man? So that's the discovery phase happens. And I usually with my people, I draw this on a board and I just say, this has happened the whole call, right? This has happened the entire time. Perfect. You're always discovering and trying to find out where this person's at, where their pain points are at, the good things, the highs and the lows, right? And we're going to get to the highs here in a minute. So you're down, you're looking at the equipment, you're outside looking at the irrigation, you're outside in the garage looking at the garage door, you're doing the insulation, whatever it may be, right? You're taking a look at stuff. This is where you're doing your high level troubleshooting. As you're troubleshooting, you're taking pictures and gathering evidence, right? And this is how I tell my guys, you can't not be just looking at something really quick and not taking pictures of anything. And here's the deal. You always want to at least have two give me's, meaning that you're going to give back to them. Like, hey, this is something that I looked at. This looks really good, right? You got to at least have two of those in. When you're talking to a customer, if you hit them with the doom and gloom all day, man, if you don't give something back to them, like if you're selling things for marketing and on someone's website, hey man, I checked out your website. You guys are doing really good here. You're doing really good on your LSAs. These are a few things we can pick up on, but you're doing really good here, right?
Correct.
You're not making them feel like a bunch of buffoons, even though they probably are, but, he's like, yep. seen that. I was one of them. I've learned a lot. But yeah, so that's the that's your discovery phase. So then you're doing that, and then you come back, and this is where a lot of people kind of miss the mark. Why they're out looking at equipment or doing anything, they're doing the sidebar conversation. This is where this cannot happen. If you're going, hey, Miss Betty Smith, you know, I was looking at the capacitors out. That's probably going to be. And then what's their next question? Oh golly, how much is that going to cost? Well, it's going to cost X amount of dollars. Okay. Well, but I'm still looking at everything for you, Betty. I'll be right back in. You're outside and you look at the contactors out or something. Hey, Miss Betty Smith. Yeah, the contactors out. I've seen technicians do this.
Yeah.
And they're doing this thing where they're having this sidebar conversation at the equipment with, you know, the husband, because he wants to be the helicopter customer, which is fine. Correct. But he's having this dialogue with him back and forth. And I'm sitting there and I've shadowed my own technicians and I let it happen because when I go to shadow, I say, hey, listen, tell them you're training me, right? I don't want no awkwardness. I don't want them to think I'm your boss or anything like that. Yep. Tell them that I'm training and I'm watching.
Yep.
So I sit back, dude, and I don't say a damn word because I got to see how this unfolds. Now, I do understand, too, your technicians are always going to be a lot more nervous if the boss is with them, and they're going to handle things a lot differently when the boss is with them, and sometimes not in a good way. A lot of people, they freeze. They got that stage fright. So I always understand because I have it.
Yep.
And if my boss is there, I'm not going to do that well. If I'm doing it on my own, I'll excel, right? Because I'm free and I'm comfortable. So always, if you're a boss, just always remember that when you're out there doing that. So that sidebar conversation, the guy's totaling this up. All this is doing is creating anxiety for him. And he's already going to develop. He's developing his answer to what you're about to ask him later down the road. He already knows his answer now at this point.
Correct.
So you don't want to give, you don't want that to take place. So no sidebar conversations. You go there, you come in the house. Hey, Miss Betty Smith, I looked at everything for you. This is what I'm going to do is I'm going to call in some parts real quick. I'm going to be right back in. You go out to your van, right? This is where you build your estimates. You got your three estimates, very simple to do. And then you come back in, you leave. Now, before you leave the house, right? That's what I tell my guys, button everything up. Don't be the guy that leaves the furnace door hanging off up in the attic, or you got a hole dug in the backyard, right? And the person tells you, because then when you're presenting and they say, no, I'm all set, I can move forward. Okay, cool, I'll be right back. I got to go up and button this up, bury that hole or something, right? It's super uncomfortable for everybody. So it's kind of like one of the things where like you just got broken up with and you got to go pack up your freaking clothes in your girl's room.
Yep.
It's just not comfortable. So I tell them, button everything up, leave everything in the car. Now you're just coming in with your iPad, and this is going to be the time you're going to have a conversation with the customer, right? Now you come in, Miss Betty Smith, knock on the door. She opens it up. Hey, Miss Betty Smith, got everything done. Called on some parts for you. Is there somewhere we can sit and talk? And I'll say that, and then I'll point where I think we need to go. Unless it looks like Nana's table and it's got mail all over it, like I've said before, I don't go in that direction. But you got to help the customer sometimes in these decisions. So, hey, is this a good place to sit? Yeah, it is. Sit down. This is now where I'm going to start talking to them. But here's what I'm going to first do, right? So I call it a four-slide presentation for my guys. So all they have really is they have Service Titan up. They have their financing app up. They have their schedule up. They have their memberships up. Like their membership, they have a membership template that they got to go over. And then they go back to Service Titan. And that's their four-slide presentation. And it's all done on an iPad. It's very simple. So you start on you're in your software, whatever software you have. And this is where I start talking to them. It's just photo time, right? This is show and tell time. And I'm going to go through some photos. And these people have no clue. They've never looked at it, honestly, probably for the most part. They need to see.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get them there. Pictures can and video can actually develop some emotion in the customer. So that's what I'm really hoping that some of this does.
Yeah.
I'll give them some gimme backs, but I'm going to do that because I'm still trying to develop this trust. Miss Betty Smith likes me. I carried her up the stairs. She's good to go, right?
Yep.
So I'm talking to her about this stuff, and she's seen the photos and everything. And then I'm going to go into the membership template, right? And the membership template, if you guys have one, if you don't, but that's an agreement template, right? And I'm going to talk to them a little bit. Hey, listen, you know, anything that we do today has this, right? And we go over some of that. And I go back into our software template. And our software template is now I'm going to show them what I'm going to be covering.
Correct.
And I'm going to say, hey, listen, and I'm not going to go through this whole thing bullet pointed with the customer. I'm just going to point out a couple of bigger things. Hey, do you remember that, you know, compressor that I was looking at? That's on here. The inducer motor, that's on here. And then we got the contactor too for you. That's on there. Total is going to be $1,250. And I immediately double click it, flip to my finance app. I already have everything set in the finance app for that price. And I say, now you can go and finance this. This is going to be the cost for you, right? Here's the cost. At $1,250, you can go and do this. You got 6 months, no interest, no payments.
Yep.
Gives you enough time to go and get this paid off. Boom, this is your payment. Or if you want to save the 15% on that discount, you can go and save yourself $300-something right now.
Yep.
At this point, when I'm talking to them about that, I jump back over into Serstai, and I just look at them and I say, okay, based off of what you've seen here, what direction do you feel like you're going to lean more towards?
Makes sense, yeah.
Meaning, are you wanting to finance, or are you going to want to go ahead and, right. And do the savings? And that typically will close it down right there. You're going to get an answer. You're typically going to have that answer. Now, in my discovery phase of talking to them, mm-hmm. of the not discovery phase, but in the showing them the photos and everything like that, I'm saying, hey, here's this, here's that, here's this, here's that. But I'm also bringing back up to them, hey, this is that contract. This is the reason why your room is so dang hot. And that's the reason why you can't work up there anymore, yep. right? I'm reiterating back to them the same language they just gave me in the beginning.
Correct. Right before that ask.
Right yeah. before I go for that ask. Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, man, you're going to close it down right there. Now, here's the thing. If they say, hey, no, I'm going to give you a little tip and a trick. Well, I'm going to let you speak, and then I'm going to give you a little tip and a trick through some of those things, because there's some things called objection blocking that people need to be doing that they're not doing.
Yeah.
That's very helpful. But for the nutshell, that's pretty much a technique that anybody can do.
Correct.
Out there right now, and it's super successful. I've taken teams. I've taken 5-man teams. Whittle them down to 3 and do more with a 3-man team than most people do with, 5 and 7-man technicians, just based off of that process alone.
Correct. So. Do you ever, let's say 2 questions here for you. So
yeah,
when you get to the end of the process, and let's say you mention, do you ever find that you have sales guys who are, they get to the point to where they've gone through the entire process, they've done it really well. I've seen some guys where that one line you had, which was, what one of these make the most sense for you or whatever yeah. it was, like that little thing at the end. And
yeah.
I've seen guys have great success, and they cut that piece yeah. off.
They just stop and they don't even ask.
Correct. And they're just silent, right? And they're like, yep, these are your 2 options here.
Yeah.
And then they'll just stop.
You can't do that. You gotta have the ask.
Right. And it's like, I see it win sometimes, and then I see it gets very uncomfortable very fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's interesting. I was interested to see what is your experience with that in
yeah.
the home? Do you feel like the homeowner kind of reacts poorly to that, or is that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 100%. And that's really kind of sales 101 too. You got to have an ask. The whole shut up and say nothing happens after the ask, not before right. the ask, right? Right. So, and a lot of people is, you got to tiptoe. Like I said, we're dealing with a different generation, not really a generation, but dealing with a different type of customer
yeah.
Today than we were even 10 years ago. So back in the day, we could be like, hey, here's your 3 options. Would you like to go ahead and move forward today? Yep. And not even say, would you like, right? Because that's yep. a trigger word. That's an option. You don't want to do that.
Right.
So what you would end up saying is, do you want to use a check or credit card? Right. Yep. And that's your close. That's your hard close.
Correct.
Nowadays, that stuff doesn't work. People don't like to be strong armed and stuff like that.
Correct.
Now, here's the thing that I do. Here's a little tips and trick called objection blocking, right? As you're going through your process with Miss Betty Smith, you're doing your discovery phase, you're doing your connecting, you need to start bringing things up. You're only going to be faced.
Beforehand.
Yeah, bring up your objections beforehand. If you don't know what the top 3 objections are in sales, you can look them up very quickly. Yep. You can find a rebuttal to every one of them, but you're not supposed to be rebuttal. Rebuttaling is kind of the old way of doing it.
Correct.
What you want to do is you need somebody to take a position on that objection ahead of time, just in normal conversation.
Yep.
And you do that by bringing up a story related to it.
Yeah.
To where they can start talking to you in a very comfortable setting.
Correct.
It's not to happen at the table where you're asking them to make a decision. If they do that, they took a position psychologically, you're going to have about, I think they say 30 to 40% success rate.
Correct.
Because then you're just going to be arguing with somebody on an objection.
Yep.
I've been there, right? I've had books that had tabs in them, and we had every objection, and we had a rebuttal to every objection, and we had to get 3 no's. I've been there and I've done that. And I had careers where, golly, it was so painstaking. To where you just, what it does, it just thickens your skin and anticipates the no. And sometimes you almost willed it into existence, the no, more than the yes is, because you're just like, I just need these 3 no's to move to the next call.
Yep.
so really, you want to just start bringing those stories up. And I say that by like saying, hey, listen, price objections. I've talked about it on here before. Bring up something about, a story where price versus cost, right? Something where that happened to you. Bring something up to where your spouse, you needed to talk to your spouse about something and how that actually went when you waited and then you came back, right? Yeah. Have that relatable story.
God, don't you that's another like that? That just don't make a decision. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then
yeah.
can't do yep. that to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the big one, right? And a lot of people that, like, I know, especially in the marketing world, right? You know, you guys have a lot of where it's like, hey, is all the decision makers going to be on the call? No, it's just going to be me. And they're like, oh, I got to talk to the owners. I'm guilty of it, right? I do it all the time because I can't make the financial decisions. Correct. But a lot of times things have to be streamlined through me because I'm quote unquote the gatekeeper before it gets to them.
Correct.
So it's definitely a battle, and in a household, the husband and wife, they're both each other's gatekeepers. So if you are in the house and you're talking to them, I always bring up something before, you know, I've been out of the game for a minute, but I always have my guys, bring up some type of, relative question. Correct. To if they're going to be able to make a decision today or not.
Yep.
And that's where they're not saying, oh, hey, you know, especially if you just got the husband home, you know, and you see a ring on his finger, right? You know, don't be, or pictures on the wall. Don't be saying, hey, is your wife here? And you see her, you know, an urn sitting on the fireplace. That's going to be a tough go.
Correct.
Right. Gotta be observant when you ask him questions
beforehand. Yeah.
So, objection blocking is going to be key, right? Cause then when you sit at the table, they should have already taken a position on a few things that really matter.
Yeah.
Which is your biggest objections. So that's already in the clear. That's wiped out. So then when you're at that line, you've got to do that ask, and it's going to say, you can do it anyway, but I'm a soft closer type.
Yeah.
It's just my personality. So I always just say, so do you feel like you're leaning more towards the financing or the savings?
100%.
And I'm getting them to take a position on one or the other. I'm not asking them, do you want to move forward? That's an open-ended question. You're going to get shot in the foot each time because nobody wants to make a big decision.
Correct.
Right there and spend the money. So if you set it up right, you should have success with that process a little bit more than possibly doing right now. So
yeah, no, I agree 100%. There's be interesting to see. I'm just thinking the dynamic, because obviously most of the stuff that I see day in, day out, obviously a lot of it's remote, right? But and then unless we're going through a sales program or our sales process with a client, which we've done multiple times. Actually, we just did it. We just did it for a gentleman that works with us. He has a spray foam company. And up until like 2 weeks ago, he wasn't even giving quotes in the house. Right. So he's emailing afterwards.
Yeah, that's everybody right now, man. I can't tell you.
It's insane.
How many contractors I have come. I have a whole backyard project going on right now. Yeah. I have people coming out to build a deck for me. I have people coming out to try to grade for me, cut down trees, clear lots. These people show up, and I tell my wife all the time, I said, you watch, not one person's going to quote me. And I said, the person that does, I don't care their price. I'm going to move forward with them.
Correct.
I tell my wife, and she's like, oh, don't say that. I said, they're never going to do it.
Yeah.
Not one person. Yeah. And I'm in the location I am now, and the one I had before, they didn't either.
Yeah. I don't. So and that's, we had to go through it because this company, we worked with them for like 7 or 8 months, and they, owner's freaking awesome. People person, sales guys are solid, or excuse me, appointment setters are solid. His booking rate is like 40%+, which is phenomenal on Facebook.
That's good.
He's just doing Facebook and Instagram. It's fantastic,
man.
And his close is under 10%,
but wait, it's 40%. Off the lead you're bringing in, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. That's a big difference. It depends on who's doing the marketing.
Correct. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. but still, I see we have companies that we're still doing their marketing and their booking rate still sucks ass, right? So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's just because those people don't pay attention.
Just don't have processes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He does, and he's got it. God damn, it's good all the way through. I mean, his numbers are great, but his close rate is awful.
So we've been
reviewing that. We're like, what's going on? Well, then we were on a meeting the other day, and it was his account manager, and his account manager brought me into it. And he's like, hey, you know, he's not quoting in home or he hasn't been. Right. And we're like, dude, we got to be giving quotes in home.
Yeah.
Like, don't send it and sit on thumbs and pick up the phone and try and call him. Like, quote him, try and close a deal.
You can't.
I mean, that was just one minor thing, right? But and there's a lot of little things. There's a lot of little things that go along with that.
That is. But what's the success rate on follow up? Right, it's about 30 to 40%.
Correct. Yeah.
So you're literally taking yourself from 100% to 30-40% for no reason, for just missing one step.
Correct.
That's, man, that is detrimental to a company. And unfortunately, yes, you're right. There's just so many that are doing that, and they don't even know. All you gotta do is change that one little thing. But you wanna know why a lot of them don't do it? Is they're scared, man. I was scared to talk and ask for money.
Correct.
I'm like, you're in the wrong business, Bo, if you're doing that. I don't know how you're paying your bills.
I'm gonna run out your door and send you an invoice later. Please pay.
Yeah, exactly, man. I promise you, the IRS doesn't care about asking for money. Oh. You know, the utility company don't, your mortgage company don't. So you got to jump in that pond, and be able to do that. But if you, I think this is crucial, man, is you got to have a process, and you got to be able to execute on that process. And here's the thing, at the end of the day, though, this process is only as good as people implementing it, following up on it, and continuing it. Because like I said, you can do it for 1 month, have success, but if you don't stay on it, you don't have goals set, you don't have a way to celebrate success with people, you know, you don't have a way to make sure that they're getting a path to progression, that, I mean, people want to, you know, have a good life and live a good life too. Making $120,000 this day a year ain't crap. So if you think in your head, if you're a business owner, you're like, oh man, that dude's making 120 a year. Almost every one of my techs make over six figures. Unless they're a maintenance tech. And you know, that's the thing. And I'm not in no wealthy area that they need to. This ain't California, right? So I think the mindset absolutely has to change, that's out there, because that's what's really kind of killing a lot of people on that, because then they're getting these technicians coming in for 20, 25 bucks an hour and they ain't playing that game. I mean, you're going to get, you know, the Justin Timbuktu. He's got a wad of chew in his mouth and he's going to have a tough time talking to a customer.
I think process is just overall, your process got to be, it's one, it's got to be proven, right? And then you, like you said, make sure that when you're bringing new people in, you're walking them through and they're seeing success with that with that process that you have, and they're not changing it, right? If it's good and it's what it should be, that they're not changing it.
Stick to it.
You know, that you're actually, once again, you're guiding the customer to the right solution. You're not trying to sell them on everything, right? You can still upsell while being a guide. It's not a not an issue. Right.
Yeah. That's what your three options are for.
Correct. And I think trust is going to be the biggest thing there. And, with that process combined, if you can be happy, you know, a halfway decent people person. I've even seen people who are not people, you know, people, right?
Absolutely.
Just because they've kind of found their angle. And they speak with, because they're not trying to be so friendly, when they do talk, people listen.
That's it, man. So that's key.
If they have that sincerity of, hey, this person's actually trying to help me. They don't seem to care about selling me a bunch of crap. They just, they want to get in and out. They're trying to guide me to the right thing. I trust them. Get better. Awesome.
Man, that's crazy. And one quick point to that, because I have a tech and we're actually losing him today. It's his last day. So we're super sad, only because he's going to start his own business. So we always encourage our guys to go do their own thing and grow and do that. So we're super excited for him, but he was an introvert. And I remember 2 years ago when I first met him, I was like, oh, this dude's going to have a tough time. And he proved me wrong. He was actually one of our top technicians. He was roughly doing, no joke, this month, knowing it was his last month with us. He did over $62,000. And he consistently was a $50,000 to $60,000 tech, but he was a guy that when you talk to him, it was a little bit awkward. But the way he could convey a message to a customer was, he had just energy about him that was very comfortable.
Correct.
Even though he was shy and reserved, he really kind of commanded a conversation when it came to plumbing. So that's key, man. Absolutely. So if they are introverts in your interview, don't shy away from that. You don't need the car salesman. That's actually the worst way to go.
I agree 100%. Yep. 100%. I actually, when I talk to, obviously we talk to contractors all day. When I talk to people, I am a very much so an extrovert, right? And I enjoy, I have a lot of energy when I talk. I had dumbed that way down. When I answer them, I pick up the phone with people. Hey, this is Colton. Give me a call. as much as I possibly can. Right.
Because
I have a high energy. Right. But
that's it.
You got to understand the people that you're serving. Right. Customers that you have. But no, I completely agree. Well, brother, I won't run this any longer for folks listening. Is there anything else you want to recap on?
No, man, I'd just definitely say, get the system in place. Don't shy away from it and understand the difference between a service tech and a maintenance tech. If you just have a bunch of maintenance techs, you're going to have to revamp your process.
Yeah. I do really like that you started out with that angle. Cause when I initially got on, I was thinking we kind of start from like the actual sales tactics angle, and you kind of went from the ground up to where it's actually applicable for them getting their structure in place and then putting these things, at hand. So that was super helpful.
All
right, guys, until next time, this was episode 10, The Contractor Compass. We'll see you on the next one.